9 is a psalm that the wording is taken from. It's about how can I get out of your presence? And the answer is, it's impossible. You are everywhere. God's everywhere. And so what a blessing. What a blessing that he's always there. No matter where we go, no matter how far we try to run and hide, sometimes people think they can get away from God, but you can't. Well, that's a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us to focus on spiritual truth today, and Father, would you work in many hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A lot of people like puzzles. They like word puzzles. They like hidden pictures. And I remember back as a child seeing in the highlights for children, the hidden pictures where you'd find the animal or the object that was turned a funny way and hidden in the lines. And some people like those hidden words type puzzles where you find you've got a whole page covered with letters and either diagonally or up and down or whichever way you find a hidden word there. And mysteries are always an attraction to folks. I know Agatha Christie is one of the great mystery writers of all time because people like suspense, and they like a suspenseful ending and something that's communicated at the end that was hidden otherwise is attractive to a lot of folks. And I think that whenever there's something that's hidden, it's got an attraction factor to it. Being lost is not a good state, and some people have gotten lost in the woods. Some people have gotten lost in a big city, and they don't know which way to go, and that's always disconcerting and always a troublesome condition to be in. But even worse than that is being lost from God and feeling like truth is somehow hidden from us and we can't find our way and we can't find the way that we ought to go. And I want us to talk this morning about being lost. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is our text. If you'd open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll read a few verses from this portion of Scripture as we talk about an important question. Why do lost people stay lost, spiritually lost, without forgiveness, without hope? It's a condition that's far more serious than just being hidden or being lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And the first question that we ought to answer is, who are the lost? If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost. Who are lost people? Well, what is their condition? They're those who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. They are separated from God by their sin, and they're unforgiven, and they're ruined in that condition. That word lost is apolumi in the Greek New Testament. It's the same word from which is translated apollyon, which is another name for Satan, which means the destroyer. And apolumi, lost, means a person who's in a destroyed or ruined condition, ruined, fully destroyed. And so those who are lost are ruined and destroyed. They're without God. And why are the lost lost? Well, the Bible teaches us that people are lost because of sin. Sin is the great destroyer of souls, and that's the reason why people are ruined who are separated from God in the first place. You know, Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Romans 6:23, just a little ways later in the book of Romans, says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And And in between and earlier in the book of Romans, it's clarified that Jesus Christ is the answer to our sinful condition. And we can be forgiven. We can be, you know, we can be justified before God by having our sins paid for by the blood of Christ. But we've got to have him as Savior. And people who just imagine that they can be forgiven because I ask God to forgive me. No, there's more to it than that. God's got to have a reason to forgive sinners, to forgive sins. He doesn't just do this out of the goodness of his heart. He is a just judge. And it would be rather like a person who's condemned of murder to say, oh, I'm sorry I did that. And the judge says, that's fine. You said you were sorry, so you're free to go. There's a whole lot more to it than that. Justice has to be served, or else that judge is unjust. And nobody can accurately accuse God of being an unjust judge. Hebrews chapter 2 says that every transgression and disobedience will receive a just recompense of reward. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape if we neglect that great salvation. The Lord has promised it, has promised forgiveness through justification to those who will come to Jesus Christ. But those who are lost are people who are still under the condemnation of sin. Look at Matthew chapter 1, when the announcement was first made of the coming Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, by the angel Gabriel, the Bible says in Matthew 1:21, she shall bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is the critical factor. And some people imagine that sin is not an issue. You don't have to repent because of your sins, because sin is not an issue. That's the whole issue. Sin is the whole issue. That's the whole reason why we need to be saved in the first place, is because of our sin. We're lost because of our sinful condition. We're lost in our sins. And the word, the name Jesus, in the Greek it's called Jesus. It means salvation. And that's the same as the Old Testament word Joshua. It means salvation. His name is called Jesus. His human name was Jesus because he would bring salvation. He would save his people from their sins. That's why Christ came. That's the whole reason why people are lost today, is because of sin and their sin nature. And that sin needs to be forgiven. And the only way that it can be forgiven before God's holy court is if that person is justified by God, because their sin has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way forgiveness is available. And people are lost because they have not received, they have not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1 with me, please. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And that word redemption means payment. It means the purchase. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We've been purchased. Our sins have been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have salvation. We can have salvation in him, Colossians chapter 1 says, and the Bible is very clear about this, that he is the way of salvation. We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And this is common wording in the Bible. It's found many times in the scriptures. Everybody's either saved or lost. Either saved or lost. And if a person says, well, I'm not saved, well then, or if they're not sure that they're saved, it means they're lost. There are only two kinds of people in our world. They are forgiven sinners, saved sinners, and unforgiven sinners or lost sinners. There are only two kinds. It's because we're all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat in that sense. But
are you saved or are you lost? And if you're lost, why do people stay lost? That seems like it's a deplorable condition. Why would anybody want to still be lost if they understand that they're lost? We're still under the control of our flesh, and because we have that sin nature, friend, you might be lost. Do the lost flee to Christ? And one would think so. One would think that if a person realizes he's lost, he would flee to Christ, who is the only way of salvation. Jesus said this in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Why is that? Because he's the only one who died on the cross to pay your sin debt. He's the only one who did that. Muhammad didn't do that. And none of the other founders of religion did such a thing. Only God the Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came to pay our sin debt so we could be saved instead of staying lost. And that sounds like such a good deal. Like, I could be saved, I could be forgiven. Why wouldn't I flee to Christ? And yet a lot of people don't. Why is it that people stay lost? Why do they continue to be lost in their unsaved condition, in their condemned state? Well, first of all, it's because of the stiffness of the sinner's heart. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 with me, back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says here, and this is the chapter that's known for the call of Jeremiah. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, or the call of Isaiah, I should say, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. In verse 9, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? He answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. And God called Isaiah to be his prophet, and he said, go and preach the truth to those people. And Isaiah's question, and his next question was, Lord, how long am I supposed to do this? He said, until the captivity, until they're carried away, until there's no more hope. And he said, tell them the truth so many times that their ears become dull of hearing, that their eyes become blind, that they just don't see it anymore. In other words, repeat it to them so often that if they reject it, that they'll get tired of hearing it and they won't listen to you anymore. Keep on telling the truth to folks, even though they may reject what you say. I think it's notable that when God called Ezekiel, who lived some time later, to be his prophet, when God called him, he said to Ezekiel, I'm giving you a forehead like an adamant, like a piece of flint, because you're going to be constantly butting heads with these people, and they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you. What a bleak outlook for Ezekiel's ministry. They're not going to listen to you. And that was exactly true. They'd gone so far in their rejection of God that they weren't going to listen anymore. And that's the reason why people stay lost, even today, is because of the stiffness, the hardness of the sinner's heart. People just won't listen. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Some of the people questioned Christ and said, why do you just teach in parables? Why do you keep on saying these things figuratively and keep on giving these spiritual illustrations? In fact, his disciples wondered about this. In Matthew chapter 13, he gave the same kind of answer. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, that's Isaiah, which saith, by hearing, and we read these verses, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. A little bit later on, in verse 24, the Bible, even just Jesus, gave another parable of the tares and the wheat, verse 24 to 30, of false professors, people who go along with it in word only. And some people do that. They go along with it in word only. But they don't actually commit themselves to the Lord. They don't actually yield in their heart and their spirit to Christ. They're only just making a profession. They're only just trying to make an appearance. They don't really want the truth for themselves in their heart. But the reason Jesus gave for using parables so often is because these people, they're not listening anyway. They're just going to reject the truth. And so that's why I speak to them in parables, because they've already turned their hearts against truth and righteousness, and they're not listening. A little bit later on, about five chapters later, I think it's in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, there's a sin that will never be forgiven. And some people say that if you speak a word against the Holy Spirit, then you have committed the unpardonable sin. And some charismatics say, if you say that speaking in tongues is not of God, it's of the devil, you've committed the unpardonable sin. But if you look at the context of what Jesus was teaching, he was talking to people who followed him, who listened to his teaching over and over and over again. They were looking for an opportunity to falsely accuse him, to accuse him of heresy, so they have a reason to put him to death. And they saw him perform his miracles, and they heard him teach things that astonished so many other people, and then they accused him of doing what he did by the power of the devil. Read it in Matthew chapter 11. And that's when the Lord said, there's a sin that won't be forgiven. What was it? It was their blatant and their habitual unbelief. They had rejected Christ so long, they weren't even listening to what he had to say. They were just looking for reasons to condemn him. And they saw him do things that only God can do. They saw him work miracles. And they didn't even think about the fact that this is a miracle. Only God can perform miracles like this. They were only thinking of reasons to reject Christ because they were so hung up on their religious traditions and their religious institution. That's all they were thinking about. And the Lord said, that's unbelief. And if a person is locked into their unbelief right up to the end, that's a sin that can never be forgiven them. In fact, some people are locked up in their unbelief for a while before they reach the end of their life. They're just rejecting Christ, and it doesn't matter what happens. They are bent on rejecting Christ. That's one reason why people stay lost. Because they're so convincing themselves, I'm fine, I'm okay. And what will people think if I say otherwise? You know what? It really isn't. And it's in the face of eternity, none of that matters. None of that matters. It's all empty. It's all vain. It's all foolishness. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks or says. What matters is, do you know the Lord? And sometimes it's so sad. Lost people stay lost because they so harden their hearts against the truth. They won't admit, they won't face who they are and what they are, and admit to the Lord and admit to themselves, I'm lost. I'm still in my sins. And I've tried to keep up a good front, but it's not really who I am. It's because of the hardness of the heart that people stay lost. Don't harden your heart. Instead, be willing to examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Don't harden your heart against the truth. There's another reason why lost people stay lost. It's because not only the stiffness of the sinner's heart, but it's also because of the scarcity of the sinner's perception. He just doesn't get it. A person who is lost just doesn't get it. The Bible says that his heart is hardened and he is ruined. He is destroyed. Look at Romans chapter 3. The scarcity of the sinner's perception. He just doesn't get it. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says that a person who's in their lost and sinful condition can't really understand things as God intends for them to be understood. Verse 10 says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And someone might say, I was seeking God, and that's how I found him. Listen, friend, the only reason why you are seeking God is because God was seeking you first. Generally, people are not looking for God. They're looking for a good time. They're not looking for salvation. They're looking for a party. There is none that seeketh after God. People don't look for God on their own. And God somehow will intervene in their life, will worm his way into their life and cause them to think about it. Just think about it. It's not because they wanted to. It's because the Spirit of God somehow put that in their heart to seek him. Because people themselves don't understand, they don't seek after God. We're not looking for God. That's the reason why the vast majority of people, it seems like they're just caught up in religion. Even though it's unfulfilling, even though it's unproductive in their life, it doesn't really accomplish anything, and they're bored with it. And that's why the most they can do is 1 hour a week at that, and then they justify themselves because I put in my hour. It's not rewarding. It's not a blessing to them. They don't think about God anymore a lot of times throughout the whole rest of the week except to use his name in vain because people are not looking for God until the Spirit of God opens their heart and begins to draw them to Christ, begins to generate concerns and fears and unsettledness in their heart. Because generally sinners don't seek God. There is none that understand. There is none that seeketh after God. People don't do that. They don't understand God's holiness. And the Bible tells us that God is a holy God who must judge sin. He is not compromising or unrighteous like judges are today. And we've already referred to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Where the Bible says that God judges every sin, every transgression and disobedience will be recompensed. And we're in grave danger if we neglect this great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation? The question is the Bible's question in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. And what hope is there for a person who falls into that condemnation? They don't understand God's holiness. They don't understand God's wrath. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They don't understand God's wrath. And a lot of people, deny the wrath of God. And they want to imagine that God, you know, he's only a loving God and all he does, you know, he's like a big fat blind Santa Claus who only does good things to people, and if they say they're sorry, that's good enough. Listen, the Bible says that God is a God of love, and yes, God loves people, but God is a God of wrath. He's a God of justice. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There will be judgment, and the context is of tribulation and wrath. Back up a little bit to the in the Old Testament to Psalms, Psalm 7, verse 8 says this: "The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reigns." And in verse 11 says, "God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." What a terrible statement that is. Psalm 7:11, "God is angry with the wicked every day." People who are still in their sin, people who are rejecting of Jesus Christ and his provision for their salvation, the Bible says God's angry with them every day. What a terrible thing to be under divine wrath. I said just last week, most people will be approving of God remedying the wrongs and God, you know, establishing righteousness in this world. But most people would probably not be approving of God sending people to hell. And we say, "I don't want any part of that. That's a terrible, terrible thought." But God, who knows all things, the Bible says, is angry with the wicked every day. It's because he's a righteous God. He's a righteous judge. And people just don't get it. They don't understand God's holiness. They don't understand God's wrath. He is a righteous God. And we're not righteous. We are wicked. We are sinners. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight." All of our righteousness, the very best we can do, is still filthy in God's economy, according to God's standard. And we need the forgiveness that only he can give us through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing grace is. What a wonderful thing the gospel is, that we can be delivered. But there are so many people in our world who stay lost because they don't perceive God's great grace. They don't understand God's gift. You know, 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God's grace, God's forgiveness, it's a gift to us. And folks don't understand God's gift, and they imagine that it's something they have to earn themselves, that they can somehow be good enough to warrant the grace, the goodness, the forgiveness of God. And the Bible says it must be a gift because we can't do enough. And so understanding God's holiness and understanding God's wrath and understanding God's gift are truths. These are understandings that are very scarce to people, and that's why some people stay lost. And then there is the shallowness of supposed saints' testimony. We don't live consistently. God, those who do know the Lord in many cases are a stumbling block to some who would maybe otherwise look for the Lord. May I say this to you who are here who do not know Christ as Savior? Don't base your eternal destiny on what somebody else does or does not do. And don't be disoriented, don't be alienated from the gospel because of somebody else's poor testimony. It's about Christ, it's not about people. You know what, saved people? Saved people are still sinners. Oh, I've known a lot of professing Christians who do this and do that. You know what, saved people are still sinners. And thank God for forgiveness, but don't die in your sins. Don't stay lost just because you happen to know somebody in the past who was saved who wasn't consistent as a Christian. You know, maybe they were not actually saved. Maybe they were just saying that they were. Or maybe they were saved in carnal, and that's possible. But don't base your eternal destiny on what somebody else does. Base your eternal destiny on what Jesus Christ has done. God's people can be inconsistent. Don't let the humanness of the saints turn you off from the Lord. And a lot of Christians try to be perfect,
but they can't be. And if you're a conscientious believer, you try to be perfect, but you still can't be perfect because you're still a sinner.
And I would encourage you to seek for the Lord to be in control of your life and walk in the Spirit. But don't excuse yourself from salvation just because you see some other people have the same kinds of problems as I have. You know what? We're all in the same condition. We're all sinners before God. And are you a forgiven sinner or an unforgiven sinner? This highlights the importance of the testimony of the saints, the testimony of God's people living as they profess. The Lord is perfect. And somebody said, you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. And that's true. Consistency is important. And you can be a stepping stone or you can be a stumbling block as a child of God to some people who are looking at the gospel. Ask the Lord to help you to be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block, not someone that would be a hindrance to someone who needs to be saved. Why do lost people stay lost? Well, sometimes it's because of the shallowness and inconsistency of God's people. Sometimes it's because of the simplicity of the plan. Some people say, oh, it can't be that simple. It can't be that easy. I've got to do something. I've got to be, you know, I've got to be experiencing some kind of a rite or ceremony or sacrament or something in order for God to be able to justifiably save me. You know, the Bible says it's not about our works. We're always going to fall short. It's about the grace of God. It's about the gift of God's grace. And as long as we live, we'll never understand how God could love us sinners the way he does. That is beyond us. Just accept the fact that it's a simple plan. And you know, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if salvation was based on me having a certain pedigree or a certain performance level, I'd never make it. I wouldn't be able to get there. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says that God would have all men to be saved. 2:4 says who would have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will, it's God's desire that people don't die in their sins and go to hell. He doesn't make anybody do that. He doesn't choose for some people to be condemned and others to be saved. It's God's plan that whosoever will and that he desires that all people would be saved, but he won't force himself upon folks. And so we have that choice. Some people just say, it's too easy, it's too easy, it's too easy, it's too cheap. Visit Calvary and see Christ paying the ultimate price for your redemption and say, it's too cheap. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's not cheap. Salvation's not cheap. Cost God everything. Cost Christ everything. It's free for us, but it's not cheap. Oh, it's too easy. I've got to live my whole life to warrant God's deliverance and get to heaven one day. In other words, you believe that salvation is by works and law keeping. The Bible strictly contradicts that position. Because then there would be a lot of folks that couldn't do it. In fact, nobody could, if it was dependent on us being a good person.
because we're not. We're not good people. We're sinners.
And have you submitted to Christ, and have you received and trusted Him as your Savior? There are a lot of lost people who stay lost for various reasons.
But there's not a good reason to stay lost. They're all poor reasons. When the Lord has done everything He can do for you to be saved, He wants you to be saved. He loves you. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you know for sure that your sins are under the blood? They're forgiven. Do you know for sure that you have received this great redemption, which is in Christ Jesus, and been justified freely by His grace, been regenerated by the Spirit of God, so you're a new person in Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Are you sure? Are you sure that you know Him? Don't stay lost. If you're lost, don't stay lost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will help people today. To face themselves and to face who and what they are. And Father, to seek the Lord in salvation, if that's what they need. And that lost people won't stay lost. So many reasons why they do, but they're not good reasons. They're not justifiable reasons, especially when a person stands before the eternal judge. Why did you stay lost? Why didn't you get saved? There won't be any justifiable reason. There won't be any good answer. I pray that folks today would realize that here and now may be the only chance they ever have. May be the only chance they ever have to be saved. Draw people to Christ even today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.